Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Today, we would like to talk about roads that lead us to the cross. And today, many people that need to follow that road is because they hurt. They have so much pain. They've given up, and they just want to run down some path where they can hide, get away, or make a change, and they don't know how. In John 6, 18 through 21, John spoke, "Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So then they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. Jesus spoke, 'It is I. Be not afraid.' They were willing to immediately receive him into the boat, and straightway the boat was at the land where they were going." Now, I don't know about you, but that's my kind of fix for fear, for relief, after struggling with the elements. Where was Jesus who could help? Do we ask that today? Where is Jesus when the weather patterns go crazy, when our government is divided, when we have twisted relationships that create our troubles, and we hurt? Well, this verse describes a big fear factor that's over 2,000 years old. This is one simple example of thousands of situations that have gone wrong over time, or circumstances that need some help. Problems that make no sense, but there's no place to turn to for relief. And sometimes it's just impossible circumstances to control from a person's own ability and strength. "I'm just so worthless, I just can't do anything right," is many times what I hear today. Or, "I've tried and tried and tried, and nothing works." Where can we turn for a quiet rest and a calm or find peace in the storms of life? Well, in the Book of Life, called the Bible, circumstances turned bad shortly after creation. Now, today we don't need a history lesson that will take us before time began on earth. We need to say, "I need help today with answers to the why questions, like, what went wrong? How could this have happened? My life has been destroyed. I was deceived. I was betrayed by somebody I trusted. I was abandoned after somebody said they would be with me for as long as life went on. And then tragedy struck my home, my family, illnesses, crises, wrongs that had never been righted or justice done, unforgiveness that was stirring up hard feelings and pain and hurt." It doesn't stop there. People in high places make rules that result in hardships, but they say it will work someday. But for now, bills get higher and higher, and resources get lower and lower. Now, the list can go on and on, but who cares? Is there anyone to help with the pain and the helpless, hopeless feelings that racks my mind and body? When I try to get help, it either costs too much, it doesn't work, it creates more new problems, stresses my relationships, and the next thing I know, I get sick. All these negative downers make us wonder, is there any hope, peace, happiness, security, any stability in this world? Jesus Christ says in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. He further promises in John 16:33, Now these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in this world. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he promises us from the beginning that there's going to be a battle that's going on, but that he has the solution to our questions. He always, always, always has the answers if we're willing to be quiet and listen. Now, have I hit a nerve with most of you? There is a true reality that can change and transform our lives. It's been offered to thousands of people, and it will always take you to the cross for freedom because someone else took on the guilt and the bondage and what had to work for us to have freedom. Now, when you talk about the cross being a solution, the biggest drawback is people say, well, that's just too good to be true, or what you say is just giving me an impossibility, or I have to see it to believe it before it can really work, or people told me to go to the cross, and I tried going to the cross, and you know what? It doesn't work. People have just not told me the truth. And my response to those questions, or refuse the greatest gift of love ever offered, is for all the ills to be solved in Jesus Christ. He accomplished Mission Impossible on the cross and rose to new life. But many will reject his free offer. It cost him everything to give us free of charge life worth living. So what does it take for the reality and the truth to become real in our life? Well, one of the first things that the Lord has told us and promised us, that it will take faith as we learn step by step the love of God. We live in an instant society and we want instant answers. If we don't have instant answers, we start running to and fro with finding false solutions, and then we wonder why we hurt. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. So I need to ask you a question. Do you know God as your Father? Well, no, I don't know Him as my Father, and furthermore, I don't want to know Him as my Father. I don't want to know him as my father because my father abandoned me years ago. Or it may be the opposite problem. Oh, I wished he had left, but my father stayed and was abusive. Or he was the biggest deadbeat anybody ever knew. I have no idea what you mean when you talk about God as your father, as your daddy God, with a tender, loving heart. I need to be needed by someone that can make me feel that I have any value, even with my warts and all my shortcomings. There is something about me that means something to them of value. You know, we probably have 10,000 songs that have been written about a genuine person to watch over me, to care for me. Now, wanting that good, wanting that reality, there are many false relationships that get formed, claiming they have a solution to your problems, but none can guarantee you, as the Creator, God Almighty, to give you love as your whole person needs to experience. The Creator's love goes from eternity past to eternity future, yet still to be. Oh, to have a guarantee that even what I can't figure out about the future and what's going to happen and when and where, I have a promise of a guaranteed love. Past relationships may have failed. Current possibilities scare me because of the past failed relationships. And why should I hope for the future? It looks so bleak. Okay, thoughts are running high on the very physical issues that can spark and make the hurting pain worse. So the next step right now, if you're listening, take a deep breath so the nervous system can start to relax. Now, breathe deep. Sometimes a coach or a counselor can give you a couple of temporary triggers to help you gain balance, and we are grateful. But the truly hurting heart needs something to break the repetitive cycle of the pain focus that will last, not just a temporary fix. Whether we are totally alone or feeling alone in the maddening crowd, if we are to come into the presence of God, we must learn the art of waiting upon God. With Him, there is no hustle and bustle in His presence. It is necessary to hear His voice when He is speaking to our minds, our conscience, our emotions, and how to recognize His voice. Now, in coming out of our pain, out of the days of darkness, while we choose to wait on God, we recognize two important truths from Scripture, and that is the helplessness of man and the sufficiency of Christ. As we wait upon God, we understand Jesus' words, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." That sounds a little scary and threatening. Or is it words of great comfort? The words I choose to find in that statement is that we can never be alone. And Jesus has given us His Spirit to live within us. When He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," I think, well, that shows I'm a flub up. I'll never know how to know Him. I've never really heard Him talk. Where's the hope you keep talking about with all of my hurt? But it depends on how we want to listen to His words. He says that we can never be alone. Who else can promise us that? That gives us satisfying comfort from pain. And Jesus says He has given His Spirit to live within us. Well, that sounds a little good to be true. But you know what? If it is, and by the way, it is. How do I crawl out of this hurt hole? Here is another question that God, through Jesus Christ, with His Spirit living within, says. The question and the answer is by communication. And communication with the eternal God, with the Spirit living in, is called prayer. You know, whether you think you really know God or know about Him, history has pointed out that men in the trenches of war cry out to a God they don't even claim to profess when they know they are in life-threatening situations. They intuitively know because God says He has placed the ability within each one of His creation to respond to Him. God hears and answers because He already knows the circumstances and even knows the thoughts of the hearts that are calling out to Him before they speak. That's the almighty power of the heart of our Creator. And another thought I'm going to inject here is, now, watch your words, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Luke 9:6-45. Now, just one caution. Sometimes we speak the truth, but we speak it with the wrong motive or intent. And then you know what that's called? It's called a lie. because we are deceiving with trying to use the truth, but not for a heart motive that builds one up. So, in overcoming the feelings of real pain, will you wait for guidance? Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." It's no accident that the Bible speaks of prayer as a form of waiting on God. Waiting on God opens up new dimensions to Christian living. It opens up all of heaven to the believer. The Christian begins to live and walk by the Holy Spirit rather than his or her own power and strength. It's important that we understand the meaning of waiting on God. Some people think, well, I guess I'm just supposed to sit down and do nothing. I guess I'm just to be passive and forget about doing anything else. No. Waiting on God is not seeking after an experience. We're not looking for a substitute. Too many believers have made the mistake of attempting to emulate the experiences of other great Christians. We spend time listening and reading and hearing about great men and women of God in past years, and then we attempt to duplicate their experiences. It is very easy to seek an experience rather than the person, and then walking away from the hurt. Jesus Christ is the one we can only walk towards. We can never substitute an experience. We can glean and learn, but they have to be a tool of learning, not the final solution. We are living in an age of instant everything, and wanting to run from pain, to escape in any way, may become a driving force. Hurt and pain can be safeguards against deeper trauma if we are willing to trust rather than always trying. Let's be willing to go to the root of our problems. Where the promises of God, correctly applied, can be a part of the solution to pain's dilemma, we can find an example in James 1. In James 1, it tells us that we're going to have various trials. But be of good cheer, because after patience has had its perfect work, things will be complete and lacking nothing. Oh, that just means that all my problems will be solved because it says I'll be lacking nothing. But that's taking a verse and not properly applying it, because in verse 5, it tells us what our trials are going to produce. And it's not freedom from the trial, but it's wisdom to know how to apply our faith from Him, through Him, without doubting. Going on to express and unveiling a whole host of other issues throughout the rest of the book. I mean, it says, hey, I thought I was going to get everything fixed, and now the rest of the book is talking about all kind of problems that can occur over a lifetime, but in preparation to be a good testimony now, but also in preparation for the final exam to mature us in eternal purposes. Our final exam doesn't even occur in this life on earth. Our final exam will be one day when we give an account at the Bema or Bema, whichever you choose to pronounce, where our lives are secure in His family, but we will give an account of how we served from a surrendered heart in following Him and all that He has spoken. So now we realize that we need to seek wisdom, and true wisdom is only in the person of God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now here is a stretching of thought. Listening to the Word of God for physical hurts to heal says to the person with no family ties with the Lord, "You are just talking extreme crazy talk." However, the offers the world is offering to the world is absolutely foolishness according to the Bible. So let's think about maybe that our Lord wants us to go to the doctor and get a checkup, and then go to the Word and be quiet in listening to how He is speaking to us. So let's start with a solution. Suppose you start with a deliberate sentence of prayer, asking God to give you stillness in your spirit. Then turn to your Bible for reading, and slowly and meditative, pick a verse. You can trust Him to guide you where you may just want to start with opening up your Bible. You may or may not add to this a hymn or maybe a devotional. Now, wait in stillness, in quietness, not allowing your mind to then go blank, but as a little child, honestly looking into their mother or their father's faces because they truly want to hear. Now, sometimes with the first insights that you read in the Bible may make you, that humbles me. Oh, man, I realize the problem, and it makes us wince. Oh, I don't know if I like reading this or not. Well, maybe you owe someone an apology, and you've totally forgotten. Perhaps a call to someone who does not have a family, although you're super busy with your family and you just don't have time to check on somebody else. But when we start waiting on the Lord, we will know that some attention should be and will be given to others each day in some sort of fashion. You know what we're doing? We're learning to change our habits and the way we think and the way we respond to hurt. So why don't we start to try a new habit of waiting on the Lord and simply talking to Him? Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what You want to do. But nothing else has worked. So, Lord, I think I'll give You a try. Now, when being still in our inward heart while listening, and maybe writing a note, there may also be an outward stillness as well. And that outward stillness would be activity. We can get too busy doing what's good. The Lord never ever endorses hurry or hustle or bustle from the Scripture. He says, "He that believes makes no haste." Our strength is never renewed in noise and hustle and bustle. These only weaken and waste the strength. Only in the silence of all of our flesh, our natural ways, can the still small voice be heard. A large part of the difficulty experienced by Christians today in hearing the voice of God is brought by our own internal clamor. God cannot use us until we come to the end of ourselves and see our utter worthlessness and helplessness of our own selves, and then put on His mighty strength and go forth crying, "I am not sufficient to even think of anything as of myself, but my sufficiency is of God." For those of you that hurt today, there are solutions already provided, but they're not easy, quick, instant, or feel good sometimes. But the Lord has told all who believe and trust in Him to walk by faith, not us mustering up our own faith, but the faith that He says He's already given us as a gift. "My faith I give you, not as the world, but I give you," and that's in Ephesians 2.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to SharedHearts.com. www.crossroads.org/crossroads.